She called him? Yeah. Oh, okay, good. That sounded like a good report.
Yeah.
It took a lot of stuff out.
Well, that she was so alert, and I mean, when I was at the hospital with her a year and a half ago, she was like racking with pain. I just wanted more drugs and, you know, not clear-headed at all. So, but she was able to.
And she's at St. Paul? Anybody have any thoughts about what we studied yesterday, Mr. McGarry? About the silent years of Christ?
Oh, actually, I didn't think
you did or didn't?
No, I didn't.
John? What?
Taken aback by the fact that Christ on earth so confronted the same
issues
that I do. When you come to the conclusion that,
can you turn the air conditioning off, please?
Let's move over here. You can see hear better. I'm just kidding. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Where does it say, but in all ways he was tempted as we are? Yeah. Go to Hebrews 4, verse 14. Actually, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, again, remember, the rest is just as God ceased from his own labors, we also must cease from ours. So, rest is Shabbat in Hebrew, but it's Jesus himself. He is the rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what much of what we've been studying lately is that the preaching of the cross becomes, you see the discernment, you see that it discerns your motives. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow. I mean, that's pretty deep. Seeing then, wait a minute. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be broached or touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So the whole, he was in every possible way tested as we are. Now, you know, we've a lot of people believe in, you know, we've talked about the quartet, his Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. And a lot of people believe in the dual God, Jesus and God. Some believe in the, you know, it was Jesus only. But the rarest thing in the universe is to believe in the Trinity. Because to believe in the Trinity, it takes you out of the picture, but it brings Christ into his humanity. And until we see that, he grew in wisdom, but the wisdom, when he was 12, it says he, after that, he said he grew in wisdom and stature before God and man. The wisdom of God is that the vanity of all things.
I have a question. It's concerning prayer. And it's like, who do you pray to? Do you pray to God? Do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit?
No. All prayers, if you look in the scriptures, all prayers are to the Father. But you pray in Jesus' name, but that doesn't mean you mouth the word Jesus. You pray in, that means to pray in his nature. Remember, we love prayer, but we don't know much about supplication. Remember that much that perplexes us is but an answer to prayer. Because God isn't interested in our self-realization or even our comfort. He's interested in the revelation of Christ. That's what, again, I was thinking last night. If you read the book of Revelation, the angel of God is always telling John to come see. Come see. Come see. Though the works were finished from the foundation of the world, though you were chosen in him from the foundation of the world, yet come see, because judgment must first begin at the house of God. All of the seven vials and the seven plagues and the seven cups and the seven everything in the book of Revelation has to take place in you. So you can finally stand and hear the, well, you can finally, your ears are circumcised to the extent that you can finally hear that seventh angel stand and said, the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more. But it has to be that in you. But sometimes I wish we could go away for a week and do nothing but go verse by verse of the book of Revelation. But it's not a kind of thing that you can study, you know, and say, we'll take a little bit now and then 3 days later we'll do something else. The Revelation, because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It sits over all of time. But anyway, so what did Jesus do in the silent years? That's what we're whole. There's this brief moment from his birth to the time he was 12 and where he said, I must be about my Father's business. And then it's silence until his baptism. What the hell was going on? You heard me talk about all of the pseudo gospels that were written supposedly by Matthew or by Barnabas or somebody, and they all have to concentrate on this period of time of what Jesus did. You know, the Gospel of Thomas supposedly says that Jesus went and learned the wisdom of the India. No, he didn't. I think the Aquarian Gospel says something like that too, doesn't
yeah.
it? But it's just, that's just crap. He lost his point of view. He had the capacity to see himself, just as you and I do, either by experience or by empathy, to see himself in all of these things, to see, no, that's just crap. There's no there there. The same as you. You have the same exact capacity. But you always, but that's not what happens. Your mind takes you to the point of, oh, look at what I would do. I'd be king of the world, or I'd be rich, or I'd have a little white house and picket fences, or whatever Ronnie wants. And it's all crap. So his silent years, from birth to 18 or to 30, he lost his point of view. He saw the vanity and futility of all human effort as Son of Man. Then he was baptized, which prefigured his death as Son of Man. And then for the rest, instantly he was brought into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to see if Satan or the evil one could test him along these lines. And the same, that's the only question that's going on in you and in him. Are you going to continue with him in his test, or do you believe something's going on with you? The moment you believe something is going on with you, or you have something to do, then you have left his test because you're dealing with your test. And it's a subtle thing. It happens that quickly. So, you understand why this was so important?
Well, I think the question in this whole conversation is... was he tempted to chase women? Was he tempted to
of course.
Steal money? Was he tempted? I mean,
he was tested in all ways as we are.
Right, and if that makes him a completely different entity than the one we would try and set up on a pedestal who never was.
Well, of course, we make him a golden calf, the same as they always did. You have a distant God that is over here, and someday you're going to be something.
You're good, you'll be like him, or something like that.
And it's just idiotic. And you have to believe then that this distant God is really a good God and good from your definition, and we would never allow cancer to happen in Harry or all of the problems that Cheryl has had. It's just such comic book theology. Anybody have any response to that rant? Buddy, your silence will be a witness against you. Remember that. All right, let's go to the second thing that's so mysterious to me. One was the silent years. Why the silent years? And the second was, what does it mean that we are to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ? So go to Colossians 1.
Is that tied to bearing about his temptation and that? Are they related?
Yeah. We bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We don't bear about in the body our death. We are an illusion.
Where are we going to deal with that?
Colossians chapter 1. Amen. I knew you would be, Ronnie. You're always a model for the rest of us.
I was thinking about from early life, anytime Jesus is ever on the horizon, it's always as this
golden calf.
Transfigured being, golden calf, whatever. So as children, we're programmed to have Jesus on a pedestal. So
the same as it Israel yeah. is.
Right. So to plow that field up and see him as he is sometimes difficult.
If he died on the cross and he was...
What do you mean if he died?
I mean, when he died on the cross and he got scourged and beat and everything, and he went through all what he went through, why would there be any lack of affliction? That's my question.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
That's what we're about to study.
Am I ahead?
You're reading ahead again.
I'm not reading. I'm just thought it.
All right. In order to make sense of this, we've got to start earlier.
Colossians what?
Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, if we were strengthened unto all might, by our definition of all might, then we wouldn't have all this other crap happen to us, right? But we're strengthened by our weakness. That's the contradiction. His power is manifest in our weakness or our emptiness. As long as we are, we are in the in our temple. If you are there, trying to deal with this, or I'm going to try to do that, or this has got to be blah 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 blah. What you're doing then is what? You are putting yourself back on the throne instead of Christ to show yourself that you are as God, i.e. I'm judging good and evil, what I want, what I don't want, what I like and what I don't like, instead of this moment of dependence. All right. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, including everything you don't like, were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, is there anything that the all has left out here? It's all except this deal that Gary has to take care of. Or it's all except, you know, ad nauseum. No, there are no excepts. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And he already has reconciled all things unto himself. In other words, every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing. It is exactly perfect. Everything that's going on is exactly perfect. And for you, you have been perfected by one offering. You need nothing but what the Father gives you freely. You can afford to rest. You can afford to stay in peace and joy, no matter what is going on around you. But what you do. And everything in life is trying to pull you away from that. Everything in time and space is trying to pull you away from that position, and how easily it's done. But having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Only place, the only enemy of God on the face of the earth is the evil one. You. Your mind.
Pretty much sums it up there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
oh, but I've got to figure this out. I'm gonna understand this. I'm gonna try to gain that which is cursed that which is blessed by using that which is cursed. The only thing that with any integrity that you can come to the end of your mind, and you've got to push it, you've got to push it as far as it'll go, whether it's what little Shannon or whether it's Einstein, you got to push everything as far as it'll go to see the only thing there is there's no there instead of living in the illusions of your mind. What?
Well, it's like it's not even a close race. Our minds have the ability to pump things up as if they were the universe.
It's interesting you use the word pump.
It's one of your favorites. I like to feed you.
That's one.
Yeah. But it's like it doesn't come close to the reconciliation.
No, it's just an illusion.
Yeah, but without that illusion, we are nothing. And so we try and maintain that illusion.
We masquerade as angels of light. That's why the whole religious structure exists. So you can sit in pews with your back to looking at the backs of people's heads. And so you can have somebody that you look up to on the stage or the pulpit. You have a little steeple that comes directly from Babylon. You think that house is holy. It's a house of God. The moment you think that, you've taken the name of the Lord in vain. All right. In the body of his flesh through faith, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Already preached. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister or a servant, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, to fill up that which is lacking of the sufferings or the affliction of the body of Christ. What the hell does that mean? They used to bug me to no end. Anybody have any answers?
It's about the bride and whether or not you'll be a part of it, I suppose.
Well, you got to hear this. If every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing and all things are exactly as they should be, then what's happening, each member of that mystery or of that body, that mystery of God, the bride, has to be tested in all ways to see whether or not they will leave the mercy seat, to see whether there's any spot or wrinkle, that they may be blameless in his sight, that they've got only the righteousness of Christ on, the garment, the white linen. But if the garment is spotted by the flesh, even a little bit, and it goes.
That's the mystery. It's always come see, not come do.
Amen. observe. And in the Old Testament, the way that obedience is stated is that observe to do. And it's all about seeing rather than doing. If you're a hearer of the word only, you do. If you're a seer of the word, you hear and do. I mean, if you're a hearer only of the word, you got to do something about it.
Even that last one where Paul says, I labor striving according to his working. So the labor is to not do it yourself.
All right. Now, so this body of Christ has untold members, this mystery of the bride. And just as the grape and the other parable of the bride is the wine, innumerable individual grapes, they get stomped on and then purified and going through all those lees. The same is true with us as members of the bride. You've got to be you, but you've got to be full of you. The only way you can be full of you, and this is a little bit hard to understand, is it's no more, it's the first time you will have personality instead of invented individuality. Because you are no longer taking little pieces of other deals to create you. Which clothes are you going to wear? Or what kind of person are you going to be? Or how to, all the how-tos that you've learned all your life, all those have to go, boom. So that finally the real you is energized from that place which is in eternity, and it's unique, but you finally have personality instead of individuality. Individuality is created by you. Personality is created by God. And you can tell, if you have the discernment of an ant, you can see where somebody is trying to be instead of being. The only solution to all of that crap is abandonment. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And then the tabernacle, remember, if you read Exodus, they gave all the specific instructions on how to build each. They have cunning workmen to build all the little intricacies of the temple and the altar and everything. And then the analogy I used to use was that it was all laid on Mrs. Moses' front lawn. And it stayed there about 3 months because there wasn't instructions on how to put it together. And then one day, God raised the tabernacle. All it took was the individual pieces had to be right. And that's what he's doing. He's raising his bride. But you don't know whether something you're doing is edifying or not. The only thing you know that when it's not edifying, if you're the subject of the sentence, either positively or negative, because then you're still back in self-realization. You're back in sin. So everything that happens, whether you continue with him in his test, if you continue with him in his test, then you're at rest. You're no more ranking of things. No matter, you have no investment in the outcome. Do you understand a little bit about what it means to fill up the affliction that is lacking? Does that answer your question, Ronnie? That you asked untimely? So, everybody understand now a little bit about the silent years of Christ and why they were so necessary and why it doesn't have any indication of what Jesus ate for breakfast? Or, you know, all those little, the wisdom, can you imagine? It would just be 10,000 times more idolatry than there is now. Now, can you accept his weakness and worship it? Or are you still worshiping a golden calf? What? Amen?
Notice here it says the afflictions of Christ, not the afflictions of Pete in Christ or Ronnie in Christ or any of us.
service.
No.
Much in the name of Christ.
Ronnie, Ronnie, Ronnie. Afflictions of Ronnie don't exist.
Yeah.
But the moment you think you do, that you exist, then what happens? You're deceived. The evil one has pulled you off the mercy seat. Remember that when we studied the Lord's Prayer? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For any reason, let I not go inward for anything. The only time you're exhorted to examine yourself. Examine yourself. No, not your... Let's go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 3. Everybody there?
2 Corinthians 1.
2 Corinthians for chapter 13, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? The definition of a reprobate is one incapable of repentance. And if you don't know that there's another life living in you, and his name is Jesus Christ, then you can't repent because you'd be left helpless. You can't leave you behind, because then what would happen? You'd be nothing. You'd have your worst nightmare. You'd be a non-entity. And the mystery of God is, until you know that Jesus Christ is in you, you are a non-entity anyway. It'll be as though you never existed. You're meaningless life. Capisce? I'm doing this in honor of Harry. It's like I've been closing that bathroom door, even though that was Harry's pet peeve.
Mine's to
have the bathroom door open. Huh?
Harry had a lot of pet peeves.
I know. I've been straightening the blinds, if you notice, every morning.
You missed one.
Huh?
You missed one. You didn't do a good job, is he?
No, I didn't. I can. You can never do that good a job. Take a big guy. Please turn the air conditioner back on.